Welcome to JSA TV and JSA Podcasts, the newsroom for telecom and data center professionals. I'm Jean-Marc Lima, and joining me today from London is Jonas Kano, Director of EMEA and APAC at Airedale International. Jonas, thank you so much for talking to me. We were just saying that we haven't spoken to each other for nearly 3 years. I mean, how are you?
I'm very well, considering the crazy things that's been going on due to the pandemic and what have you. But we're surviving.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. But look, the pandemic has brought as many challenges as it has brought opportunities as well for this industry. And I think we all agree that the industry has embraced them quite well. What would you say has been a couple of interesting things that you've seen changing over the last 12, 18 months in the data center space?
I think it's quite interesting because for 3 to 5 years prior to the pandemic, everybody's been talking about digital transformation, 5G, all the various things about IoTs and what have you, and the potential. And it seems that the pandemic itself has just forced that potential through. So one of the real changes we're seeing is companies are reevaluating, actually, what do we do about digital transformation? It's a reality. Because everybody's forced from working from home and, you know, working on Zoom, just like we're talking on Zoom now, a lot of companies are thinking, we need to make this a reality. And we're seeing the fruits of that implementation as we speak.
It makes sense. And I guess this is not going to go away either once we are over the pandemic,
I think it's a catalyst. You know, aside from the whole health scenario, from an IT perspective, from a data center perspective, digital transformation, I think this is the big catalyst that would, you know, there's almost before pandemic and after post-pandemic. And so they're not going to go away. I think it would accelerate already with the big rollout of 5G and with the movement that electric cars are making in the market, which is edging towards that driverless car dream, which Tesla is pushing. You can see that, you know, the basic infrastructure for the new world, the new digital reality, is being put in place now.
And first, it's good to see that all this infrastructure has been recognized now as critical infrastructure almost everywhere in the world, especially in Europe. We've seen it really being spoken about by governments, and we've seen data centers being put down as critical infrastructure, which is really good. And I mean, we've literally leapfrogged an entire decade in the space of 12 months. But with this as well, I mean, of course, we leapfrogged a decade, more data center power. This all requires also more power and cooling. What have you seen within the cooling space in the data center change?
It's an interesting question because there's been, as you know, there's always been a lot of talk of new cooling technologies, whether it's liquid cooling and what have you. But I think from a technology progress perspective, not much has changed. What has changed is the massive increase in deployment. I think what's driving this is, you know, you have hyperscale companies, which obviously are moving very quickly. You have technical real estate companies, as it were. And they are businesses that have particular business needs. And, you know, the pandemic and all the digital transformation process after that has really driven those business needs, as it were. And so it's coming down to the cooling side of things. I think we're more busy with, you know, looking at innovation around making sure we can keep in step with these particular needs. So, for example, in technical real estate, again, it's just real estate, right? Just like office, but obviously it's technical space, data centers, co-location. And there's a massive drive across Europe to really look for these powered facilities. And at the same time, a massive drive to really get the hyperscales to come in as tenants. And so the big innovation now is if they come in at the last minute because they don't want to pay until they've got, you know, a signed contract to come in, how quickly can we deploy, you know, the various infrastructure, the very physical infrastructure, which obviously includes cooling. The OPEX side of things, how can we use various free cooling methodologies to keep that OPEX as low as possible? So that's where the innovation is, you know, the business process, the way that we actually deploy these units, Not to say there isn't massive innovation when it comes to cooling technologies. Of course there is. I think that's still in step with new ways of looking at data center design, like OCP and what have you. And that step is slightly at a different pace to the massive business demands of the colocation.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because we can then distinguish the speed of deployment that we need right now and probably over the next half decade, and then what's going to change in terms of technology and it's going to really reshape, transform the inside of the data center or maybe the outside.
Well, you know, just on that point, I think not to say that in the near future there won't be massive change. We know that obviously 5G, because of low latency and, you know, decentralized computing, will create a massive change just in itself. Not quite there yet, but we know that the infrastructure is there to actually drive 5G. Also think HPC as well, high performance computing, which is now becoming a massive, you know, area only because, you know, there's more number crunching to do. There's more things that AI drive to be able to get that information. And that would obviously create new technologies, new ideas. So it's there. I think the real focus now would be, you know, how do the needs, the current business needs for these large physical infrastructure facilities.
Okay. Well, I mean, and speaking how to provide for those needs that we have today, I mean, Airedale is one of the biggest players in this space in the data center world. Tell us about the business. What's Airedale like today? How have things changed, or how has market demand changed over the last 12 months? I guess we'll kind of lined up with what you just said. And what's next? What are you guys planning on to launch, to unveil, to buy? what's next?
Right. So Airedale is an interesting company. So Airedale started off as a relatively small player in 1974. So that's when I was two. And it incidentally started off, or interestingly enough, started off in the IT space. Then it was data processing. So it was a crack unit, air conditioning. And then it got into chillers. The mainstay for Airedale up until probably about 4 years ago was commercial chillers, either in the commercial HVAC market, like, you know, schools and hospitals and commercial buildings, just in normal chillers, as it were, or within the, how do I put it, the enterprise data center space, you know, where a company has their own data center, relatively small. It's only in the past 3 years or so, 3-4 years, that it's got involved in the big co-location hyperscale. And I was brought on to accelerate that process. Hmm. But incidentally enough, Airedale in 2005 was bought out by a company called Modine. And Modine classed themselves as the largest thermal management company, but mainly in vehicles. So, you know, you're cooling within tractors and vehicles and also cars and what have you, with companies, clients like Ford. And they realized only recently that electric cars is probably not the way to go when it comes to cooling for their business. So they've sold off their vehicular departments and are now heavily looking at the building HVAC space, particular data center. So you've got this position between Modine saying, let's start investing our real might, because they're a $2 billion company on the New York Exchange, with one of their acquisitions, which they've left alone until now, with this massive growth in data centers. So Airedale is undergoing massive change. Now, Modine have 42 factories around the world that make made different things. And suddenly, rather than Airedale having one huge facility in Leeds, which is what we've done to export globally, now we're trying to become a very different player, utilizing a lot of these factories around the world, having Airedale America, and then obviously ultimately in APAC region, and being a true global player. Because the funny thing is, when you're dealing with co-location hyperscale company, you're dealing with global companies. You're dealing with companies that want a global standard, that don't necessarily look at the products as engineered solutions, but look at them as, you know, products that need to be put in the right place at the right time. So it becomes about logistics, becomes about service management. And so therefore they need a player that can deal with them globally. And so we are turning into a very good niche player, European niche player, into a global phenomenon. Interesting. Very, very interesting
time. Okay. But just picking up what you said, so of course you're becoming a niche player in that sense, but because of the past with the automotive industry, for example, you do have expertise on how to deal with verticals. Is this something that we're going to see Airedale working more with? So automotive companies, we've seen Volvo, for example, announcing they're going to build a large data center, I believe in Sweden or Norway, I think it's Sweden, in the coming years. Range Rover did the same last year. Are we going to see you guys working more with automotive companies as well to build their own data center facilities and even other verticals, so healthcare, schools, government, etc.?
Yeah, of course. That's one of the things we're looking at. I mean, so it's interesting because you mentioned two verticals that are hand in hand. So on one hand, we're in a data center vertical. On the other hand, you have the vehicle transport vertical. So Airedale will still provide commercial HVACs to various verticals, but also you would have the data center, how do I put it, data center solutions division, as it were, that will be provided into hyperscale and colocation. Now, we would always have data center products, so therefore verticals can still sell our products within, you know, their particular verticals. So it's interesting because we've just gone through a transition where rather than look at our sales organization from a geographical perspective, we've now turned it into verticals. We've got that transition anyway. So the case is, how do we create strategies for these various verticals? Because they're slightly different products required, slightly different demands. And the biggest vertical at the moment, at least, will always be your hyperscale and colocation. But yes, we will still be involved in the marketplace as a whole. Wherever there's a requirement for industrial-based cooling and thermal management, we'll be there.
Okay. How would you describe Airedale's journey for the next 12, 24 months in one word?
AI.
Okay, that's interesting.
I say that because, you know, we will continue to build innovative products. We will continue to build new markets. We'll continue to be commercially astute because the market's changing, it's going through an explosion, and the various things that one has to do to be able to navigate these changes. And that's a given. What we feel will differentiate us is we're seeing ourselves less of a product company, obviously you manufacture stuff, less involved in just thinking about how do you manufacture a product and how do you get it shipped, and more of a solution provider, a particular service. And when you think about it, if you're the service is cooling, right? And yet cooling is very interesting because you would think, well, let's just keep the cooling as low as possible. Let's keep the temperature as low as possible. But in reality, you know, the temperature needs to be just right relative to ASHRAE figures because now you can cool higher, hotter. You've got more HPC environments coming in, you've got mixed environments within a particular one space. How would you deal with these various cooling needs? And also to do with maintenance, because, you know, that impacts the resilience of the facility. And we find that AI is a solution. You know, whether it's a case of getting these cooling facilities to talk to each other, to react, to learn the pulse of that particular data center. Every data center is different. How do you learn using, you know, trend information and analyze that and train, you know, the cooling, you know, units to actually cool in a more efficient way? But also, how do you create a scenario where you know to maintain the unit before it actually needs maintaining, you know, predictive maintenance? What are the things that would make us unique in that scenario? Because the problems isn't about cooling anymore. I mean, that's just mechanical.
It's standard.
I mean, you know, we'd just be another mechanical cooling manufacturer. And we'd always strive to be the best at that, of course. But the issue is now, if you've got a unit in there that would last for, let's say, 10 years, the life cycle of a data center is 20, 30 years now, you know, how would that machine do what it's meant to do over that lifetime? Because colocation hyperscale, the physical infrastructure is a cost base. It's a complete cost. So it becomes a financial analysis for the owners of this facility. But into that. And that's where we feel will be different moving forward over the next 12 months.
Okay. I mean, that's very interesting because as you say that, you took me back to 2015 when I went to, literally when I went to Stuttgart to a conference there. And this is what Bosch was saying that they're going to be doing around the end of the decade. So around last year, I haven't really followed up to know if they did or not, but they were talking about all this as well. So creating the digital twins, creating this self-healing infrastructure, creating the AI-enabled infrastructure that can run itself, not just on a cooling and power perspective, but with other things that come with the factories, which are different to a data center. So I think that's very, very interesting. I'm sure there's a lot more that we can talk on that level, because it seems like a big shift as well within Airedale as well.
It is a big shift when you're going global.
Yeah. And Jonas, if people want to find more information about Airedale and what you're doing, and then of course this AI future that's coming over the next year, where can people go to find out more?
So our website has always been there. So it will be www.airedale.com, very straightforward. That gives you a view of what we're doing, certainly in Europe. To get a bigger view of, you know, how we are working with our parent company, Modine, then it will be www.modine.com. I think those two websites will give you an overview of where we are.
Okay. Well, that sounds good, Jonas. Thank you so much for your time. It's been nice to catch up after 3 years.
Always I didn't realize
it was 3 years. and thank you, our viewers, for tuning into JSA TV and JSA Podcasts. And don't forget to check our social channels for more content. Until next time, happy networking.